Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the seventh Sunday after Trinity comes from our gospel reading of Mark. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. Thus far the text. The Lord cares for his people. From a garden of perfection to a mountain wasteland to Wheat Ridge, Colorado, the Lord cares for his people. And not just for his chosen people, the believers, but for the unbelievers as well. So great is our Lord's care and compassion for the pinnacle of his creation that he doesn't care in the least if the people believe in him or not. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And we really don't understand this. The pious part of us would like to think that they would offer a bed and a plate of food for someone in need, but the reality is we have a hard time enough caring for the people that we like and who like us, let alone the people we don't like and the people who despise us. But not our Lord. The rain falls, daily bread is given indiscriminately. Again, the sinner within us has a difficult time with this. Our eyes oftentimes are focused on the daily bread of others and find it almost impossible to be content with the daily bread that the Lord has placed on our own tables. Why them and not me? Why me and not them? These are the questions, whether we admit them to ourselves, whether we even say them out loud, that we want to ask our Lord. Such questions are, I suppose, wrong questions. But we ask them nonetheless. We can't help it. And we get bogged down waiting for an answer that we'll probably never get at this side of heaven. And if we did, we probably wouldn't be content with it. And so we should, indeed, just rest in the fact that God cares for his people, all of them, and supplies their daily needs and our daily bread. In a waste place, somewhere around the Sea of Galilee, a large group of people have come gathered together to hear Jesus speak, to have him heal their sick. For 3 days now, they've been out there with him. And it's quite apparent that there isn't a single Boy Scout amongst them, because none of them have come prepared for this situation. Isn't this the way of things? No matter how prepared we think we might be to wander through this life, sure and steady, ready and prepared to supply ourselves with the things needed to support this body and life, the things needed to make it through each new day, the truth of the matter is, none of us knows what the next day is going to bring. What is here today could quite easily be gone the next. What we thought was sure and certain has now become desert sands just slipping through our fingers. We don't know what we need to support this body and life. Try as we might to always be prepared, we really have no clue. And when our daily bread seems to be lacking, we can clearly see that our trust and our faith was never in the giver of these good gifts, but in the gifts themselves all along. And that's more common than I think we'd like to admit. It's more first nature than second nature. And so, yeah, we find ourselves amongst the 4,000 somewhere in the desert wondering how in the world we got here, why it's been 3 days, and why does it seem as if we're just going to waste away. But the Lord does care. He cares more than we could ever know. He looks out into this great multitude and has compassion, and not just the sort of compassion that we have when we see a panhandler on the street corner, because more often than not, let's admit it, we just continue to drive on by and we forget all about them by the time we get to our own house and have our own dinner at our own dining room table. But the compassion of our Lord, the one who's the giver of all good things, he has a gut-wrenching compassion that moves him to the point of action. He actually does something. He supplies something. He gives something. And he says, if I send them away on their own without satisfying their needs, they will certainly fall down faint along the way. Now, our reaction to hearing this sort of statement from Jesus lines up pretty amazingly with that of the disciples. But how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? That's our question. Jesus doesn't ask that question. He has a different one, even if he doesn't say it out loud. How can I not feed these people with bread out here in this desolate place? And once again, we see the giant chasm of a difference between the likes of Jesus and the likes of us. The impossible seems impossible and remains impossible for us, while the impossible never even enters into the mind of Jesus. How could it? Nothing's impossible with God. 7 loaves, hardly enough to fill the bellies of 4,000 people, not even enough to give them each a crust of bread. But that doesn't seem to matter for Jesus, does it? Why would it? He's the one who created everything in creation out of nothing. Just his word spoken, and there it was. A garden created to supply us with everything that we need to support this body and life. And even after that garden was thrown into sin, that didn't mean that the creator of that garden couldn't, doesn't still have the power and the authority over all things to supply us with everything that we need, even out of that which we have destroyed. How can one feed these people with 7 loaves of bread in this desolate place, we ask? Never mind, Jesus replies. Let me worry about that. But we still do worry, don't we? We still do worry how that daily bread of ours is going to end up on the table. And we still do worry about how our Lord is going to accomplish the promises that he's promised to us. And we still do worry what that bread is going to look like and if we're actually going to like the taste of it and if it will actually be enough for us. But why would we worry when every good thing comes from our Lord's fatherly hand? We worry because we're sinners. We worry because every single thing that we say and we do and we think is somehow tainted with this sinful flesh of ours that can't ever fully trust in the God who has always remained faithful, even and especially when we find ourselves once again faithless and scared and doubting him. How could we doubt? That's a silly question. How could we not? We're sinners. But perhaps we shouldn't worry about that doubting business. Again, let's let God worry about that. Because if we start trying to fix our doubting, our worrying, our sinful flesh, we're going to find ourselves at more of a loss than when we first began. For the sinner within will just start looking at the bread that's set before us. We'll just start wondering about the bread that's going to come tomorrow. We'll just keep focusing on that daily bread itself, and we'll never, ever look to the one who gives that bread. The sinner has faith in creation, not in the Creator. That's why the sinner will always drive himself further and further to despair. The truth of the matter is, we all have this doubt because we really don't understand and comprehend the things about the bread. And Jesus, he knows this. He has compassion, gut-wrenching compassion on us because of this doubt, because of our fear, because of the fact that we will absolutely faint along the way if he sends us away without first satisfying our needs. And Jesus took the bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples. This is how our Lord deals with all of our doubt and all of our fear and all of our dread and unbelief. This is how our Lord actually deals with the things of our sinful flesh that can't look past the daily bread before our eyes to the giver of that daily bread. This is how our Lord deals with the sinner that's in all of us. He forgives. The key to a clear conscience, the key to a doubting, sinful flesh, is not that our Lord turns us to these earthly things of earthly bread. In a perfect world, that would be enough. Maybe it would. Maybe in a perfect world that would work. But there was that garden, and now there's not. This world isn't perfect, is it? Neither are we. And so if our faith is actually directed towards the earthly bread, then our faith in receiving this earthly bread will always waver, because for the sinner, we can never have enough earthly bread to be satisfied. And we'll never stop doubting whether or not earthly bread will be there tomorrow. So our Lord says, forget about that earthly bread. That will come. I promised it. I will supply it. But instead, here, look at this bread from heaven. Here, come, taste the very bread come down from heaven. Take, eat my body given for you. Come and receive not only the gifts, but the giver himself. So laid bare on this altar is the bread of life, the bread come down from heaven, the only bread that can really and truly deal with the doubt and fear and all that lack of earthly bread that you do have. Here is Jesus. Here is his forgiveness for you. Forgiveness for each and every single time that the earthly bread he supplied for you wasn't enough. Forgiveness for each and every single time that you looked into the cupboards and doubted whether or not they would be filled. Forgiveness each and every time you doubted that God would take care of you and all of your earthly needs. Forgiveness for each and every single time that you placed your faith in the things of creation and not and the Creator. But instead you forgot all about him and the fact that he created daily bread and you and everything else. And so we come to this table this morning and we receive the gifts given here from this altar, from that lectern and from a pulpit like this and from a baptismal font like that. We come and receive all of these good things because Christ our Lord has gut-wrenching compassion on us, knowing that if he sends us away into this world without first satisfying us, we will faint along the way because we will doubt and we will wonder and we will be scared beyond belief at what tomorrow might bring or what might it not. He sends us away today without the gifts of the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. It doesn't matter how much daily bread he gives us because it will never, ever be enough for us and we will never be able to find comfort in it. That isn't to say that our Lord doesn't care about our daily bread. Of course he does. He loves us and has gut-wrenching compassion on us and all of our earthly needs. He knows that we need this earthly bread. But he also knows that, as important as it is, it can do nothing for us in the grand scheme of all things if he doesn't supply for us the bread of heaven. If he doesn't give himself to us to rescue us from sin and death and the devil. All of this earthly bread will come to naught one day, and faith in it will actually lead us to the very same demise. And so Jesus knows this, and he gives himself to us, the bread of heaven. And we eat, and we're satisfied, knowing for certain that if our Lord grants to us the things of eternal life, if he knows that we need all of these things above all others, if he continually gives to us free and clear all of this, even when we doubt, salvation, forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. If he gives all of that to us, how will he not also give us all the things that we need to support this body and life? So we eat, and we're satisfied. And we walk away, not doubting that God will supply us our daily bread. Or maybe we still do doubt. Okay, yes, we absolutely still do doubt. And then we come here again. We return here next week. And we hear his words spoken to us and over us, forgiving us. And we receive him and life and salvation. That's the way of the sinner and the way of our Lord. Our Lord always gives the good things that his children need, and his children always receive them in faith, even when faith seems to doubt, because it's not about our faith, and it's not about earthly bread. It's about Jesus for you. In the name of Jesus.